I want to welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us today. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And as you've had your time of worship, now we're coming together as many locations but one church to go in the Word of God. It's great this first Sunday of February to be able to join you right where you are. I know it's Super Bowl Sunday, but before we get to the Super Bowl, the most important thing is going to happen is that the Word of God is going to be preached. We've been talking over the past few weeks about the life of Joseph, this young man who we find in the book of Genesis. In fact, if you want to go to Genesis chapter 41, it's where we're going to be today. But we've been looking at his life, and we looked at it 17 years of age. He had a series of dreams, and God began to speak to him. And in those dreams, God told him what was going to be happening with his life and all the great things that were going to take place. And what we see is that in that first week we talked about that we all find ourselves at a place of potential, a place of possibility, but it's up to us whether or not we see that dream, that possibility lived out. The scripture says that because of his dreams, his brothers hated him. Just because you have a dream does not mean everybody's going to like you. And the scripture says that they threw him into a pit. In fact, some of them wanted to kill him, and they threw him into this pit. And so we talked the second week about being in a place of rejection, how that everybody is going to experience rejection, probably not just once in your life, but numerous times, and how that we learn how to deal with rejection is going to determine whether or not we see our life successfully moving into what God has for us. We see him going from that pit into a man's house named Potiphar in Egypt. He lives there, and the Bible says that he is so blessed of God that Potiphar turns everything in the household over to him. But what happens is that Mrs. Potiphar starts looking at him, and the Bible says he was handsome and he was good looking, and she began to say, I like this guy, and the Bible says she began to tempt him day after day after day to go to bed with her, and he kept saying no. And we talked about the third week, we talked about a place of temptation, that there are going to be moments in your life that you're going to be tempted. It can come in a myriad of ways, but you're going to be tempted to give in to the moment for some pleasure or for a good time. And what you do is that if you sell that moment, if you fall into that, then what you do is that your destiny doesn't come to pass. The great thing about Joseph is that he didn't give up. In fact, the Bible says that she grabbed him one day and he literally ran out of his clothes and ran outside. And the scripture says that she told her husband, look at this Hebrew boy that you brought into our house here. He's tried to rape me. And so what we looked at last week is that now Joseph goes to prison. And he's in prison for a while. Scholars tell us he's in prison from 7 to 9 years at least. He's there for a while. Things are happening. But we talked about how that prison is a place of refining who you are. And it may not be a natural prison. We hope it's not a natural prison. But that there are those moments where you're kind of pushed away from everybody. You're forgotten by everybody. But it's in those moments that you continue to allow God to refine you and to make you into what he wants you to be. Scripture says that while he is in there, once again, everything gets turned over to him. He still has the favor of God, even though he's in prison. And the Bible says that two of Pharaoh's top guys are thrown into prison. One of them is a cupbearer, and one of them is the chief baker to the Pharaoh. And one day they have a dream. Each of them wake up one morning, they have a dream, and they bring that dream to Joseph, and Joseph interprets that. And he tells the baker, he says, I hate to tell you this, but the king's going to cut off your head, and actually he's going to impale it on a pole and put it out for everybody to see. And guess what? 3 days later, that's exactly what happened. But he looked at the cupbearer and he says, here's what's going to happen to you. He said, you're going to be restored back to your position. And here's what Joseph said toward the end of the 40th chapter. He said, and when you get there, don't forget me. How many of you believe if you're in prison, you don't want to be forgotten, right? And the scripture says that the cupbearer goes back. He's restored exactly the way Joseph said that he was. And guess what that last verse of the 40th chapter says? If you got your Bibles, look at it. It says, and the chief cupbearer goes back into the Pharaoh's courts, and he forgot Joseph. Now, doesn't that just tick you off? Right? I mean, come on, really. Is that not a point you go, really? I interpreted your dream. I helped you when you were in a mess, and now you forget me. So we pick up the story in the 41st chapter because now we're going to begin to see the next phase of Joseph's life. When 2 full years had passed, in other words, after 2 years of being there, after he's interpreted this dream, Pharaoh had a dream. He was standing by the Nile. When out of the river they came up 7 cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, 7 other cows, ugly and gaunt, came up out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the 7 sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. How many of you know when you have a dream like that, you want to wake up? You want that dream over with. The Bible says, then he fell asleep again, and a second dream, 7 heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk, and it goes on into the second dream. Now, what we have happening here is that now Pharaoh has a dream. Now, there's something happening in the life of Pharaoh. And what we're going to see as we study this today and we look at the life of Joseph, we are going to see that Joseph now is going to be able to stand before Pharaoh and he's going to be able to interpret this dream that Pharaoh had. Here's what we're talking about today. We're talking about the palace, which is the place of fulfillment in your life. It's like 13 years. I've been waiting for this to happen. I had a dream. I believe this was going to take place in my life. I believe this was going to happen. And now, 13 years. How many of you know that at 17 years of age, when he had that dream, he didn't think he'd be 30 when it came to pass, right? I mean, it's like, come on. I'm not waiting any longer. This is enough of this waiting business. But he goes in, he's going to interpret the dream. Now, here's what I want to say to you about your dream and how it always attaches to somebody else, okay? The fulfillment of my dream is always the answer to someone else's dream. Don't miss that. Let me say that again. The fulfillment of my dream is always the answer to somebody else's dream. In other words, God is always going to connect you with somebody else. It's not about you. We think it's all about us. We look, but God says, no, no, no. Here's what I'm going to do, Joseph. I'm going to fulfill your dream, but the way that I'm going to fulfill your dream is that you're going to interpret somebody else's dream. I'm going to attach your dream to the fulfillment of somebody else's dream and how that you come to that. So for 13 years, he's been waiting. And you talk about a journey. He's gone from being daddy's favorite to having the nice coat to being thrown into the pit to being in the place of Potiphar's house to winding up in prison. And he has been in this place now year after year after year. But what has to happen is, and remember last week we talked about how that Joseph had concern for other people, how that Joseph was willing to be, if I can use this term, he was a dream releaser. And that's what I want to talk about for just a minute today, is that for me to see my dream come to pass, I've got to be a dream releaser for somebody else. I've got to help other people to see what they want in their life if I want to see things good happen in my life. Now, I will say this to you. Most people are not dream releasers. Most people are dream killers. Come on, how many of you found that to be true? I mean, you're believing for something, you're thinking something's going to happen, or maybe you say, man, God spoke this to me, and they're going to say, well, I'm just going to tell you. You know, I know so-and-so, and they thought the same thing, and they wound up in the hospital, or they wound up in jail, or they're dead. You know, praise God, that makes me feel so good, right? I mean, come on. Why most people don't get there is because there are some things that we struggle with. I want to give you 4 things real quickly, the reason why we're not dream releasers. The first reason is fear, all right? The first thing is we don't feel like we measure up. It's kind of like, oh, poor pitiful me. I'm not good enough. I can't tell you anything. Why would God use me to help somebody else? And so we have this poor pitiful me syndrome. We've got that, poor old sinner saved by grace thing. Right? I hadn't talked about that in a while, but I think I will. Scripture doesn't call you a poor old sinner saved by grace. Scripture calls you a child of God, an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's what the Scripture says. You can't be a sinner and saved at the same time. So you're not a sinner saved by grace. You once were lost, but now you're found, right? So when you begin to understand that, remember I told you a couple of weeks ago, you're his favorite. So you do measure up. The second reason, though, and this is kind of the inverse of that, is pride. Now here's what I mean by that. We are self-centered. The reason people don't help somebody else is because it's all about them. Well, I want my life, and I want my world, and I want things to happen for me. And so because we're self-centered, we don't help anybody else, and we get all wrapped up in what we want and what we desire instead of allowing God to use us to help somebody else to reach what it is that God has for their life. In fact, let me help you, husbands and wives. Let me talk to you for a minute. If you would learn to be a dream releaser in your family, your marriage would be a lot more fun. Amen. Instead of always pointing out why it can't be done or why it's never going to happen or why this, that, or the other, I love marriage counseling with hundreds listening. If you would come to that place of saying, hey, I want to help you, instead of being all about you, let it be about them, all of a sudden things would begin to be better in your marriage. The third reason that people don't is they have a mindset. Their mindset is wrong, and that is what I just call that they have a mindset of the bare minimum. It's like there's just a little bit, and if I help you, then I'm not going to have any left. It's this whole, in fact, it's throughout our society right now. I'm going to be totally politically incorrect for a minute. It's this whole thing of, well, if somebody's got more than I've got, then you ought to take what they've got and give it to me. We need to redistribute this wealth. It's not right for somebody to be rich and for me not to have anything. Whoa, wait a minute. Listen, let me say something to you. I am not going to get ahead by taking from somebody else and bring it into my life. I don't live in a kingdom of not enough. I live in a kingdom of more than enough. I serve a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. And so I'm not trying to get from somebody else. I'm trying to get into the flow of the kingdom of God and allow God to bring blessings into my life. If you'll learn to live with Jehovah Jireh instead of with the government doesn't owe me anything. In fact, I wind up in April owing the government a whole lot every year. Right? I mean, it's that whole thing. We got to understand. I'm not entitled. I'm not. Oh, help me, Jesus. Right? Come on, let's get back to who we were as a great nation and learn to turn this thing around and to believe that we can do it. God's placed some stuff inside of us and we don't have to get by with just a little bit, and I don't have to rob somebody else to have it. I can have everything that God wants me to have. That's how we have to live. So it's not this mindset of the bare minimum. Lastly is vision. And in other words, not understanding that you really can make a difference. Not looking at your life and saying, you know what? God has great things for me. God's going to do wonderful things in my life and through my life. When you get there, you can begin to live at a better level with everything that God has. And so we got to cast that aside so that we can become the dream releasers that God wants us to be. Now, let me say this. Before I'm going to get to the part about being a dream releaser, I'm going to show you how to fulfill your destiny real quick out of this passage that we're looking at. I'm going to give you three things just real quickly. Number one is this: honor God by remembering that He is the source of success. All right? If you want to do great things in your life, then you've got to honor God by remembering that He is the source of success. Look in verse 16 of that 41st chapter, and here's what it said. Joseph standing before Pharaoh, and this whole interpretation thing, he says, I cannot do it, Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. In other words, it's through God. God's going to give me success as I speak to you today, and so you get that, and when I begin to understand that, and I begin to live that way, then I begin to bring honor to God, and my destiny begins to be solid as I move forward. The second thing is I've got to honor God by being a witness or bearing witness of His power. When I look at that, Genesis 41:25, it says this, then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Now, I've got to honor God by bearing witness to His enabling power. You say, what do you mean? Well, think about this for a minute. In this culture, Pharaoh was considered a god. He was a god. They worshipped him. And so what Joseph does is Joseph shows up and says, I know you think you're a god, but let me tell you about the power of Jehovah God. He said he's going to be the one who's going to do this. You can't even get an interpretation to your own dream, but I've got a God who is going to be able, because there, Joseph understood a New Testament passage way before it was ever written, that God was able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he could ask or think according to the power that was dwelling in him. And so Joseph says, look, it's not what you're doing, it's what God's doing that brings that to pass. Look in the 32nd verse, because here's the third thing is, we honor God by declaring his sovereignty. All right, that's one of those words that kind of trip us up. We talked about God and his sovereignty. Look in the 32nd verse, if you would. Here's what Joseph says. The reason the dream was given to Pharaoh in two forms is that the matter has been firmly decided by God, and God will do it soon. In other words, it doesn't matter if you believe it or not, God's sovereign. Now, I want to tell you something. There are aspects of God's sovereignty that bothers me. Wow, am I the only one? I mean, have you ever read things in the Old Testament and it feels like God's kind of cruel? Feels like he's hateful? It feels like he's mean-spirited? Feels like he's pretty capricious in what he does? He just does this and he does that and But what we have to understand is that when you look at the sovereignty of God, here's why God does things the way he does. We live in time. God lives in timelessness. We see a year, 5 years, 10 years, maybe you live long enough to see 40, 50, 60 years, but God sees all of eternity. And so when God makes a choice and when God does something, we're looking at it, the Bible says, through a glass darkly. We're seeing just this moment, but God sees the entirety of what he's going to do. So when God told the children of Israel, go in and wipe out this country and wipe all these people off the face of the earth, is God knew that if they did not do that, here's what's going to happen down the road. Here are the things that are going to take place. And every time that they were disobedient to God, God showed them what they had done wrong and the answer to that. And so in our lives, we have to come back at some point and say, you know what? I may not know. I mean, come on, think about it for a minute. Joseph is in prison at least 7 years. Don't you think he said at some moment, enough? I've enjoyed all of this. I can stand, God. Get me out of here. But God, in fact, years later, remember what Joseph said to his brother in those three aspects. Then we can begin to live in our destiny. And as I live in my destiny, then I become a dream releaser. And that's what I want to share with you over the next several minutes today. Look in the first verse. We've already read it. But would you look at that again? It said, when 2 years had passed, that Pharaoh had a dream that he was standing by the Nile. Here's the first thing to becoming a dream releaser. Number one is you've got to remain faithful. Joseph is in prison for 2 years, but he's still faithful. He's still doing what he's supposed to do. He's still being obedient the way he's supposed to be obedient. He's still the second in command, only under the warden in prison. He is doing everything he's supposed to do. Let me talk to you for a minute. In fact, let me just tell you this. Some of this you're not going to like. Over the next few minutes, I'm going to say some things you're not going to like, so I'll just go ahead and tell you that on the front end. So many people say, well, I want to be the boss. I want to be in charge. I want to be the person. But they're not faithful. They don't show up at work on time. They leave early. They're sick 3 days a week. They do sloppy work. And then they talk about, well, did you see so-and-so get promoted? I can't believe they got promoted. Let me help you. Reason so-and-so got promoted is they come in early and they stay late. Oh, help me. It's because they're faithful. In fact, there's a biblical verse for this. If you're faithful in the little things, God will make you ruler over much. See, we love to say, well, they got the breaks, or they're just lucky, or this. Well, you know what I found out about lucky people? They show up early and they go home late. They work hard. Boy, it gets quiet in this house. I'll just talk to y'all who are watching them. See, it's interesting to me how we want to say, well, this is why this. No, no, no. We've got to come to this place of understanding that the reason Joseph finds himself in just a few minutes standing, when we talk about it, standing before Pharaoh, is because he is faithful in the middle of nowhere. Nobody's looking at him. Nobody's patting him on the back. Nobody's saying, that a boy, and you are a great kid. He is in the middle of a jail cell, but he is being faithful in the middle of a jail cell. So if I can't be faithful in the bad times, God's not going to allow me to have the wonderful times because he can't give me what I have not sowed already in my life. The second thing is found in the 13th verse of that same chapter. Would you look at that? Here's what it says, or it's coming on the screen. It says, and things turned out. This is the cupbearer talking to Pharaoh. He says, I'm talking about his interpretation. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. In other words, hey, king, I want to tell you about this guy. He's a dream interpreter, and what he says come to pass. Now, I'm going to give you the second one, and some of you are going to swallow hard on this one, okay, because, and I'll explain it. Number two is this. Your past determines your future. Now, I'm the first one to tell you God's a forgiver and we can get a fresh start. I believe in all of that, but I'm going to tell you, here's what I'm talking about. It is because Joseph was interpreting dreams while he was in prison that he is now going to be able to stand before the king. It is what you do right now that's going to bring you before the king. It's your past is going to determine your future. What are you doing right now? You say, well, I believe I'm going to do great things. Well, what are you doing in the moment? Are you doing great things now when nobody's watching? Man. See, my past determines my future. What is going on in my life at this moment determines what I am going to receive. And we love to talk about overnight successes. Let me tell you about overnight successes. They've been in the dark for years. That overnight success that you see come to the front and boom, there they are, and they've got a great ministry or they've got a great business or they're a wonderful entertainer, I promise you they have been on the backside of nowhere where nobody's knowing them, just doing what they're supposed to do day in and day out, just singing to three people or just playing before 20, just doing it. And as they did it, their past determined what their future was going to be. If you want to have a great future, live like that now. Live in the moment as though. You say, I want to be a great person for God. Well, don't wait until you get called to the stage. Well, if when they tell me I can preach and I'll start fasting. No, you start fasting before they tell you to preach. Well, when you know, y'all okay? When they tell me I'll preach, I'll start studying the Bible. No, you... study the Bible before you're called, before you're told, before. See, it's the past that determines your future. I got to hurry. Look in the 14th verse. Now we're going to drill some for a bit. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. I'm going to give you the third thing. This will mess with some of you. You have to learn how to adapt to your audience. Hey, if you're hanging out in the jail, you can be ragged, your beard can grow out, you can stink. But if you're going to stand before Pharaoh, you got to clean up. You got to put on some new clothes, you got to shave, you got to take a bath, you got to smell good when you get there. Oh, help me. This is good practical stuff. I mean, I'm in businesses a lot. I do a lot of stuff, and I'm in businesses, and I see people come in to fill out applications for jobs. And I am astounded. And I look at those people and say, I wouldn't hire you. I don't know what your IQ is, and I don't know how good you are, but I can just look at you, and if you can't put on some clothes when you come in this place, I am not going to hire you. You like you just rolled out of bed. What is your problem? Well, hallelujah. Come on, you got to adapt to your, you know, sometimes you got to change your verbiage. You see, he can't be speaking Hebrew. He can't be talking like he's in the prison cell now. Now he's talking to the Egyptian Pharaoh. He's got to use the language of the day. He's got to use some skill when he stands there. I mean, for years, and I still work on it. My wife is my greatest asset in this because I am horrible on some language issues. And she constantly is pounding me. You got to talk better. You got to say these things right. You got to quit. Why? Because you're preaching to people who have college degrees and you sound like you're in the third grade. All right? But guess what? You can't stand before the CEO and talk like you do when you're with your homeboys. I'm just telling you. I'm trying to help you. You say, well, it doesn't matter how I look. doesn't matter how I sound. It matters. It matters. You have to adapt to the audience you're with. If you're talking to teenagers, you talk to teenagers one way. You're talking to adults, you got to talk another way. You're hanging out with people, who basically graduated from high school. You got to adapt to that. If you're talking to college professors, you got to talk. Can you imagine Joseph just saying, well, if he wants to talk to me, I'm going just like this. How many of you think Pharaoh would have seen him coming in and said, cut that guy's head off? He didn't have the good sense. If you don't believe Pharaoh cut people's head off, go read about that guy. That guy just didn't cook a cupcake right or something. He killed him. He's a chief baker. I don't know why he did something he didn't cook good. What? And then we think we can just show, we just roll in. Just come on. You want the better job? Act like you want the better job. Work on some things. Work on manners. When you go out to eat, my Lord, work on some manners. I got to move. I want to hang there, but I got to move on. Look in verse 15 and 16. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream, and no one can interpret it, but I've heard it said of you, that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now, hang on. Stop right there. This is where most people mess up. For 13 years, he's been waiting. For 13 years, he's thought about this moment. And now the king of the entire nation has looked at him and said, you the man. And in that moment, most people become arrogant. I am the man. Let me tell you something, old Pharaoh. Let me explain it to you right. You know that's what people do. It's in that moment. We're this close to reaching our... Listen, I want to tell you something about people in leadership. People in leadership run from arrogant people. When you get ready to hire someone, those of you who hire people, you bring in two guys, and one of them, or two gals, and one of them is just arrogant. They got all the stuff, but they're just arrogant. And you bring another person in, and they may not be as qualified, but they got a good attitude about them. You'll hire the good attitude over the arrogant any day, because you know that if you hire the arrogant person, you're going to be firing him in 6 months. What does Joseph do? Read on. Joseph said in verse 16, I cannot do it. But God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. The thing here is that you've got to stay humble. You've got to walk in humility. Listen, yes, you've got it. Yes, you've refined it. Yes, you've worked on it. Yes, you've been faithful. All those things. But in the moment that it's there, don't blow it. Stay humble. Look in verse 25. I got to hurry. Verse 25. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. But what you've got to do at this point is what Joseph does is he acknowledges God's hand. What we have to do is, no matter where we are in life, is that we always have to acknowledge that God's with us. Now, that doesn't mean that you walk into the board meeting tomorrow or you walk into the practice tomorrow and you take your Bible and you stick it under your arm and say, hallelujah. Because they're going to look at you and say, are you crazy? Right? This is a business. Go put that Bible down. We don't need a preacher in here. Right? Okay. What it does mean, though, is this. Is that when God uses you to help the company, and then you go to lunch, and they say, how'd you know how to do that? You say, you really want to know? Yeah, I want to know. Well, I've been thinking about this problem for a few weeks, and I've been praying about it. And I really feel like God told me if we would do this, that this would help us to turn it around. Now, all of a sudden, you acknowledge the hand of God, and you also got the attention of the people who are around you. And you didn't bash them in the head with 48 scriptures and make them hate the church and not want to see you. All you did was acknowledge the hand of God, and that's what Joseph is doing before Pharaoh. But it doesn't stop there. Here's where most of us stop. We stop with the knowledge. Oh, Pharaoh, here's what's going to happen. 7 fat cows, 7 years of plenty. 7 skinny cows that eat up the fat cows are 7 years of drought. That is what your dream means. And this is what we do. We walk in, here's the knowledge. And we say, I'm done. Watch what Joseph does, because this is the difference in the person who gets promoted and the person who gets left behind. Look in verse 33 and 34. After he interprets the dream, here's what he says. And now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and put him in charge of the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh appoint commissioners over the land to take a fifth of the harvest of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Here's what Joseph did. He gave wisdom. He didn't just give knowledge. Listen, when you walk into that boardroom, they already know there's a problem. When you walk into that classroom, they already know there's a problem. The knowledge that there's a problem, everybody's got that. They're looking for somebody who's got a solution. They're looking for somebody who has wisdom. Let me say this to you. If you want to see your life and the trajectory of life do this, get wisdom. I heard a guy say years ago, you don't have a financial problem. You don't have a marriage problem. The problem that you have is a wisdom problem. The Bible says, with all you're getting, get wisdom, and with wisdom, get understanding. We have a wisdom problem. We look at situations and we say, here is the problem. Great. What's the solution? I promise you, if you are a wisdom problem solver, you bring wisdom to situations, I promise you, you won't have to push your way up the ranks. They will come through the ranks and pull you up. Wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, Scripture says. Solomon talks about wisdom how many times? And yet, we lack wisdom. But you know what? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know what to do. Can I tell you what the Bible says? The book of James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth generously. You're facing this situation. You don't know what to do. It may be in your marriage. It may be a family situation. It may be a spiritual thing. You don't know what to do. Here's what you do. God, I need wisdom. What would happen in the next 6 months if we would begin to operate in wisdom? You know what would happen? Let me wrap this story up today. We'll have one more next week, but let me wrap this part of the story up. When he says this, Pharaoh looks down and says, I want you. You're the one, because not only did you have knowledge, now you've given me wisdom in what I want to do. He did not have to self-promote. Can I say it? Come on. If you have to tell me how good you are, if you have to hand me a card that tells me how wonderful you are, your life should be telling how good you are. Everything you do should be telling how good you are. And that's how we become dream releasers. You know, when you study the Bible, what you find is that the scripture, the fulfillment of Jesus coming to this earth, is he comes as a dream releaser. Think about it. The book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, God says to Satan, the snake, there's coming one who one day you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. The New Testament says, although Jesus was equal with God, he took upon himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of man and came to this earth to die for us. Jesus came to be a dream releaser so that you and I could be the fulfillment of what God desired, which was a nation of sons and daughters. That is what we're called to be. Every one of us are called to be dream releasers. God's got a dream. He's got a dream for you. He's got a dream for the person sitting next to you. He's got a dream for your family, for your friend. God has a dream. It's up to you whether or not you see that dream released. Amen.